Sie hören SBS German.
Yes, it's quite a curious tale, and it depends really on how you believe the story to play out. Yeah, on one level, this couple of German backpackers, maybe, they traveled to Australia in late 1976. They traveled down the coast, like many backpackers do in their late 20s. It's summer in Australia, and then they're traveling and having a great time, like we assume. At some point during their vacation or their trip in Australia, they discover that they're pregnant, that the woman Ingrid is going to have a child. And this is where the tale becomes a little bit murkier, because when they discover that she's pregnant, they steal a yacht and sail it to Papua New Guinea. Now, Papua New Guinea is not just around the corner. It's over a week on the sea. It's 3,000 kilometers of rough sea, so it's quite an adventure. And then they land on a remote island in Papua New Guinea, not the mainland or the capital. They're in a really remote place. And that's sort of where the tale kind of continues to become more extraordinary. They, again, are sort of, depending on how you view it, they're sort of like hippie kind of backpackers just enjoying the sort of utopian paradise of this Pacific tropical island, or are more sinister things afoot, and they're promoting violent revolution and telling the locals to revolt against the government. And in this kind of period, they have the child and are basically like bringing up a newborn baby in this incredibly remote island. And at that point, the authorities or the officials at the time are alerted to their presence, and they're subsequently arrested for the yacht. And they're then taken to Port Moresby, and a trial. There's a court case, and they're tried for the theft of the yacht and for illegally entering Papua New Guinea. Now, this is again where things get a little bit kind of more curious, because at this point, some of the alarm bells start ringing, and the officials are alerted by the German authorities that actually they're wanted by Interpol, and that they're wanted for a string of robberies, and they're connected to the Red Army faction or the Baader-Meinhof group. So it's a very curious tale, because through the court records and the newspaper articles that I've tracked down, they deny any links to these terror groups. They just say that they're kind of left-wing kind of hippies, and that they're anarchists, and they're, you know, of the time where many young people were. It's the late 70s. People are, you know, are kind of going through those stages of their, and they're in their like 20s, so they're just saying that they're like politically engaged, but they're not terrorists. So the court case happens, and as part of the plea deal, the man, Rene, he pleads guilty, and then he, as part of a deal to allow Ingrid to go back to Germany.
It's a fascinating story. It's a fascinating yarn, and it's kind of part crime story, part adventure story. How did you come about it? I've never heard about it.
Yeah, well, I was based in Port Moresby a while back, over a decade ago, and it's sort of one of those tales that at the bar kind of pops up from now and then, and it's sort of some of the people that were involved in the case were retelling it in a kind of like a folklore kind of story about the time that the sleepy little backwater of Papua New Guinea was embroiled in an international terror case. And yeah, it was just one of those stories that people kind of told over, you know, like a kind of campfire kind of vibe. And it stuck with me since. And I've sort of from time to time dipped into it and tried to put some of the pieces together. And I've conducted interviews. And And in many respects, I would love to speak to Ingrid and find her and their child, because that's really where this story lies. I mean, we need to get the firsthand evidence and get the firsthand account of what really was going on. Germany, you know, has, well, Germany history with the Baader Meinhof and the Red Army faction is one that's been, you know, very well documented and recounted. But many people or many of the experts in Germany that I've spoken to have no understanding of how these people are connected to it. So for me, I feel there's a real story to be told about what their motivations were. Were they really involved in any kind of crimes of the time, which, you know, would lead the authorities to be concerned? Or was it like a overblown exaggeration? And again, the sort of hysteria of the older generation thinking that the hippies and these kind of peaceful protests were a real threat. So that's kind of why I want to, you know, find these people, because it'd be excellent to actually speak to them and find out firsthand what it all is about.
Auf dem Flughafen in Mogadischu steht an diesem Tag die entführte Lufthansa-Maschine Landshut. Kurz nach Mitternacht soll das letzte Ultimatum auslaufen. 90 Geiseln sind seit 4 Tagen in der Gewalt der Entführer.
Das ist ein Höllenpfuhl gewesen. Ich kann Ihnen viel erzählen, Sie können es sich nicht vorstellen.
Stuttgart-Stammheim. Die Terroristen fordern die Freilassung der hier inhaftierten RAF-Mitglieder. Doch die Bundesregierung will nicht austauschen. Unbemerkt schickt sie eine Antiterroreinheit nach Mogadischu. Die GSG 9 soll die Geiseln befreien.
So you actually think it's likable or even probable that this Ingrid and her child and René as well, if I understand you right, could be living in Australia?
No, I think, well, unfortunately, René has died. He was found hanged in the jail cell. So again, that's in line with some of the deaths of the Baader Meinhof and the prisoners who as a political protest killed themselves in jail. There was hunger strikes, and then they quite controversially were hung themselves, or I think there was people being shot. So how did they get a gun into the jail cell? So that kind of fed these conspiracies that they were murdered in the German jails. So that kind of connection also is another undercurrent to René's death, whether this person was depressed and sad that he was missing his family and couldn't handle being in jail on his own in a foreign land, or were more sinister things afoot, and were they part of some sort of major conspiracy, and there was some potential sort of murder and then it wasn't just a simple suicide. So René definitely, or unfortunately, can't tell his story. But that's kind of why Ingrid Kosh is the woman we'd love to speak to or find. And her daughter, her child, which we don't even know the sex of, would be around 40 or early 40s. And we don't know where. It could be living anywhere. But the story goes that during the court case in 1977, Ingrid left to return to Hamburg, as where they're from. So they could be anywhere, but we assume, or we're starting our search, or we've started looking in Hamburg and looking for Ingrid Kosch, who'd be in her late 70s now.
Ihre Community, Ihre Meinung. SBS German.
Now, just to get that right, René passed away in Papua New Guinea in a jail. That's
correct.
A fact.
In 1978.
And his partner, Ingrid, and just so we can spell that family name, how do you spell it?
K-O-C-H.
And that is a fact as well.
Yeah, it was reported at the time in the local press, and there was an inquest into the death, and I have all the newspaper articles here. I mean, I know it's a sensitive issue, but I hope there's been enough time to have passed so that it's not too insensitive or sensitive that someone wouldn't want to discuss it. It's just a remarkable story.
And what makes you believe that she and her daughter or son who's now maybe 40 years old, could be living in Australia?
Well, I don't know about Australia. I feel that the last piece of evidence that we have is that she returned to Germany as part of this plea deal that...
She would have returned with the child.
Exactly, yeah. So they've gone back to Germany. So unclear. I mean, that would be even more of an incredible story if the child retraces the steps and has gone back to Papua New Guinea. I mean, that would be, again, a kind of an incredible part of the story. But this is the real big kind of mystery for me, and the real big challenge for this whole sort of story is finding Ingrid and their child. So that's what we need to find. We're hoping that maybe through German media like yourself, that maybe this will kind of generate a little bit of a conversation, or someone might know an Ingrid Kosh that had, you know, sort of a crazy youth and went to Australia in the 70s and Papua New Guinea in the late 70s. And and maybe someone knows, has a friend that was born in Papua New Guinea or has parents that were in Australia. So in the late 70s. So maybe, you know, through this kind of these conversations, it could lead to some more information.
Yeah. And you yourself, of course, lived in Germany for a couple of years, I understand, in Berlin. So I guess you have some contacts there as well.
Yeah, it's kind of, I had a great time in Berlin. It was really it lived up to all its expectations. And I was very much a sort of bohemian, solving the world's problems over the dinner table and talking and drinking and smoking till all hours, being quite a young Berliner, passionate about politics and art and culture and often waking up quite late in the afternoon. And
it was after the fall of the wall, if I may guess. So.
Yeah, exactly. I'm much more younger than the real heydays of the late 70s. But I mean, Berlin's a fabulous city, and it's one of those places, it seems, that, you know, you're always told that it was much cooler and fun 10 years ago. And I think that's sort of been the case where, you know, you had the likes of David Bowie and Iggy Pop and various other musicians and artists in the 70s. And then it's kind of moved now with the fall of the wall. Now the trendy spots is East Berlin. And as ever, you know, it kind of attracts waves of young people to sort of be creative and to experience this kind of really open and free city, which provides a lot of potentials, which I think in other European cities really lack. And again, like, it's an affordable place, and it has that sort of spirit, which, you know, for a young inquisitive mind, it's a really exciting place to be.
Yeah, and an inquisitive mind you certainly have, and all of this would then ultimately lead into a podcast series. And from what I understand, it will take months to collaborate and then put together. I mean, that must cost a fortune. Yeah. So in terms of, traveling to those places, I presume you want to travel to Papua New Guinea?
Yes, I'd love to get back there. No, you're right. And again, while we're also looking for Ingrid and her child, I mean, we're also hoping that, you know, there might be some interest from German outlets that would see the potential and the benefit in such a great story. But yeah, look, we're very much in the early stages of the production where we have a few key issues that we need to resolve, like finding Ingrid, because, you know, we want to ultimately have some sort of conclusion to the story, not just leave it open. And I think that's a real challenge and something that we're starting now. Obviously, in the current climate of a global pandemic, travel is quite difficult and restricted. But at the same time, it also gives us a little bit more time to do desk research and to work from home, where, you know, I'm based in Brussels at the moment, so as restrictions or Europe sort of opens up, I am able to cross the border into Germany, and we're hoping to do that next month. Obviously, now everything sort of goes into shutdown for European summer vacations and things like that. But again, I've done a lot of archival research and some interviews at the time when I was in Papua New Guinea. So I have some basis of the investigation. It's just now trying to, as you know, like put it all together and try and work out what this story is. And I think in many respects, it's, yeah, you're right. It's a big task. I mean, it's covering Australia, Germany, Papua New Guinea. But again, it's also about more universal themes about intergenerational conflict where parents and children are sort of always disagreeing about the way forward and disagreeing about the current state of affairs and politics. Certainly the case with Baader Meinhof being a reaction sort of to post-war Germany. And then now you have a kind of similar conflict going on with young people angry, frustrated about politics and climate change and looking into colonial history of different countries. So I feel there's a real way of telling the story that has a universal value, not just to be about German politics and not just to be about Papua New Guinea, which is for a lot of people quite an obscure topic. So yeah, we're hoping to travel, to go and find some of the people that remember this couple and might have more information. Yeah, it's going to go to some very remote places. But that's all part of the adventure that I hope to sort of take listeners on. And that's kind of why it's such a rich topic to really get my teeth into.
Liken, teilen und kommentieren Sie unsere Inhalte bei facebook.com/sbsgerman.